You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Paddock with the Dallas Morning News, and here we are at the end of the winter meetings. The Rangers have been one of the most active teams in the winter meetings, which I don't think anybody really saw coming. I definitely didn't see it coming. Most of the beat writers, so they didn't really see it coming. So it's just been kind of a surprise that the Rangers have been so active that they got David Dahl, who is ranked as the top non-tendered free agent, according to The Athletic's Keith Law. The Rangers assigned him to a one-year, $3 million deal. He got the first hit in Arlington's, in the new stadium in Arlington. He is a one-time All-Star back in 2019. He also had the first multi-hit game, the first extra base hit in Globe Life Field, and I believe the first three-hit game as well. All of that came in the very first game to ever be had in just a major league game, not including the preseason games, whatever those were. Exhibition games right before. I think he might have had the first hit there too. Not exactly sure, but I know it's the first one that actually counts. Anyway, 1 year, $3 million deal. Last year was really rough for him. Injuries have plagued him for throughout his career. He was a former first round pick by the Rockies back in 2016, right out of high school. He is 26. He turns 27 on April 1st of next year. Meaning, oh my gosh, he is just like 10 days younger than I am, which is kind of wild that he's getting up towards the older age of the spectrum. But he's only been in the big leagues for a few seasons. 2016 was his rookie year, missed 2017 with a lot of injuries, played 77 games in 2018, All-Star, played 100 games in 2019, and then played 24 games before injuries ended his season in 2020. Now, last year was really rough for him. He only played 24 games, like I said. That was 99 plate appearances, hit 183 with an on-base of 222 and slugged just 247. That's an OPS of 470. Not what you're looking for. The OPS plus is 19, which is really, really not what you're looking for. It's just injuries have been the main part of the season, the main story of his career. But when he's been healthy, he's been so, so good. This is the start of a really weird movement by the Rangers. That was actually kind of started by the trade for Nate Lowe, that I don't really, really understand and I don't really feel super comfortable with. Dahl is audition is more of an immediate audition. He had an oblique injury that sidelined him for most of the season last year. He also had an injury that came up while he was on the IL. There was an issue with his non-throwing shoulder, his left shoulder. It had been bothering him since the spring, more serious than just soreness. So he had surgery in September to repair a torn labrum. He's expected to be ready for spring training. There's been quite a few things that have injured. It's not just that. It's been a bunch of different things. In 2013, he had a hamstring tear and back soreness in low A. 2015, he had a collision with a teammate in double A. It gave him a lacerated spleen. 2017, he had a stress reaction in his rib cage. 2018, he had a broken foot that resulted from a foul ball. In 2019, he was an All-Star. And then he caught a spike in the grass and suffered a high ankle sprain that made him miss significant time in 2019. So that's why the Rangers only gave him a one-year deal, even though he's only going to be a 27-year-old, a former first-round pick, I believe 10th overall. Let me double-check that really quick. Exactly 10th overall in 2012, I should say, amateur draft, out of Mountain High School in Birmingham, Oak Mountain High School in Birmingham, Alabama. But when he's been healthy, he's been super, super potent offensively. He's hit .286 in his MLB career with a .334 on base and slugged .494. That's an OPS of .828 with 38 home runs, 53 doubles, and 14 triples. That's over 264 games in four seasons. So if he's healthy, $3 million is an absolute bargain for a guy who is extremely potent offensively. Now, he is another left-handed hitter, but he's mostly going to play the field defensively in left field, which is where he's played most of his career. But Fangraph's offensive metrics don't really love his defense. In 2019, when he was an All-Star, he had a defensive war of -5.1. The year before, in 77 games, he had a defensive war -1.8. And his rookie year, -1.9. Now, last year, he was at -1.9 in just 24 games. His offensive war was -10, or his offensive rating, I should say, and defensive ratings. His war last year was -0.8, according to Fangraphs, which is really harsh, extremely harsh. And even his one All-Star season, 2019, his war was only 1.4, according to them. But the walk rate has always been pretty good, according to, for his career, it's been at 6.5%. The strikeout rate's a little high at 26%, not super great. The batting average on balls in play has been kind of skewing his numbers a little bit. The year that he hit .315 as a rookie, his batting average on balls in play was .404, which I believe the major league average is right around .300. So he was getting a little lucky with those. In his All-Star year, when he hit .302 for the season, his batting average on balls in play was .388. Last year it was .258, which is why a lot of his numbers came down to earth quite a bit. His walk rate was down to 4% last year, and his strikeout rate was 28.3%. But going back to what I was saying about the Rangers' strategy, it feels odd that they would trade three guys in the low A level for a first baseman when you already have a first baseman that you're kind of committed to and you've kind of been committed to since you signed him to a record deal back when you signed him in 2016, I believe, however long it was ago, when the Rangers actually signed Ronald Guzman out of the Dominican. But it doesn't make sense to me why they feel like they can get these guys who are like just about ready to be competitive. Like David Dahl is a guy who maybe they're planning on just buying low on him and selling high at the deadline if he does well, or maybe they really think they're going to hold on to him. And he'll be healthy and ready to contribute when they're ready to be good again in 2024 or whatever, which means he would be, in his 30s, early 30s then. I don't really see that happening. It more makes sense of just if you can get this guy for $3 million, like that's fine. But that combined with the trade for Nate Lowe makes me think they're trying to skirt the rebuilding process because the trading three guys that are in the low minors when you're at this part of the rebuild feels just wrong. Like it is not the time to do that. Like you've got to hold on to all of your lottery chips, especially at this time when you're not going to be good. Cause that's the only way that you get these elite prospects is you have these young guys, and you let them develop. And that's kind of the only time that you get them. You don't trade for them. Usually, unless you trade for somebody else's lottery ticket, and then that comes up. Kylie McDaniel wrote about this phenomenon at length for ESPN. But anyway, here's what he said about the Nate Lowe trade. And this is kind of where I'm getting my thoughts on this from. He said, I like Lowe as a player, but giving up real value for a first baseman during the down times in a rebuild is prioritizing what should be a luxury buy. The easy spot to fill for cheap every offseason at the end of the positional spectrum where solid players are often discarded. Looking back at the Dunning trade, another solid young player and a move that's lower variance / upside, but also comes with some risk suggestions that the Rangers aren't prioritizing risk / variance / upside as a virtue thus far in the rebuild, which it has to be at some point. The best example of this risk / upside is the centerpiece in the Tampa Bay deal, or that Tampa Bay received in the low trade, Roberto Hernandez, who is listed as a left fielder. He's in the lower levels of the minors and maybe a Schwarber type left field / first baseman / emergency catcher type, but he has bonkers surface level numbers and underlying stats to match. The other two players the Rays got are interesting as well. A hit first, speedy up the middle prospect, Oslavis Basabe, and another corner type with real hit / power tools in Alexander Ovalis. The Rangers have some depth in the lower minors, but these are the types that you hold on to at this point in the competitive cycle. You may point out that Hernandez and Ovalis may just turn into be low types, but the Rangers need high variance lottery ticket types of this skill set more than the lower variance ones. Exactly. That is what that is why I didn't really love the trade. I didn't come out and say it because I wanted to make sure that I could do my due diligence and digest it first. But I'm really not liking the low trade. And also going back and looking at what Ronald Guzman has done since 2019. Now, that was kind of the year where it felt like, all right, everything's kind of breaking for Guzman. His offense is terrible. He played 87 games in the big leagues that year, and he hit 219 with an on-base of 308, slugged 414 with an OPS of 723, which is not what you want. But then he is at that point, he was a 24-year-old first baseman who had basically two seasons in the big leagues. That was his second season in the big leagues. He only made his first season, 123 games in 2018. I know it feels like he's been here for forever, but this is only his third MLB season. So they sent him down to Nashville as a 24-year-old, which makes sense, which is AAA. He played 30 games for Nashville, and this is what he did. 135 plate appearances. He hit 308 with an on-base of 400 and slugged 504. That's a 904 OPS, which is really solid for a 24-year-old first baseman in AAA. And then this year in 2020, I know he only played 26 games, had some struggles with injuries, but he had an on-base of 314, slugged 436 with an OPS of 750, which was right up there among the tops for Rangers offensive players this year. 86 plate appearances, he had 4 home runs, a double, and a triple. 7 walks to 24 strikeouts, which was a little bit improving on his rate from years past. Would have liked to see a few more walks, but still pretty solid. He's always been a guy who really knows the strike zone very well. But getting to what he's done with Gigantes and the Dominican Winter League this year, he's only played 15 games at 72 plate appearances, but in that time, he's hitting 339 with an on-base of 458 and slugging 492. That's an OPS of 950. I know it's a smaller sample size. He has 2 home runs and 3 doubles, but his walks, 11 walks to 14 strikeouts. That is exactly the kind of ratio that I'm looking at that makes me encouraged. Also, the power, and I'm pretty sure he's just not selling out for power, which is a thing that did not work for him. That's something that the Rangers tried to do for quite a few guys, just get a little bit more power out of him, see if he can get a little more out of the offense. But that was not working for him. Just going back to being more of a contact hitter, just trying to hit for a little bit, get on base a little bit more, and the power will come eventually because he's a big dude. He's listed at, I think, 6'6". I think he's 6'8 when I stand next to him. He's a big dude, and he will have that power. It will come. I promise you it will come if you just let him go and be a decent hitter. He's already one of the top 3 defensive first basemen in baseball. That with an average first baseman's offensive profile, he is a very, very valuable guy. He's still got 3 more years of control on him. Also, I'm pretty sure you burned through all of his options already, so he's basically going to have to win the job straight out of camp. So I don't know why you trade those guys for Nate Lowe. It doesn't make sense at this point, and it looks like the Rangers are trying to kind of skip the bottoming out for as long as possible, for at least 3 years. They're trying to just do it for 1 year and be medium to okay next year, even though they're not going to be, because they didn't get enough pitching, and there's not enough pitching on the market unless they go out and sign all the top guys, which I absolutely do not see coming. But even then, their offense still won't be quite good enough unless Ronald Guzman puts up some Dominican numbers in the majors, which I don't quite see, but I do see a huge improvement from what he did in 2018 and 2019 as well. But I think he deserves to be given the chance. The Rangers have loved this guy. They love his makeup. They know what he's about. They've been all about him from the time that they signed him as a 16-year-old 9 years ago to now. So I don't know why it feels like they're rushing to give up on a guy who's only been in the big leagues for 3 years. While you're in the middle of a bad rebuild, what should be a long rebuild, it just doesn't really make sense. Also, he's one of the few guys that Joey Gallo came up with that's still there, that Joey's still close with. I just don't get it. I think that Guzman's going to win the job out of camp, and it's going to make the Nate Lowe trade look even dumber. But nonetheless, the Rangers are going for the non-tendered route. But this feels like a good year to go for it. There are quite a few non-tendered people that I think the Rangers should go for. We're going to take a quick break. We come back and we'll look at some of those non-tender people that the Rangers should go for this offseason while they're still there. So, speaking of friends of Joey Gallo, Hanser Alberto is a non-tendered free agent, and he is a guy who spent a lot of time with the Rangers. He's always been a pretty good defensive player, never really had much power, but has always really killed left-handed pitching. He is listed as a second baseman slash third baseman slash shortstop. Of course, he played for the Orioles after he played for the Rangers, because that's just what he does. But anyway, he has done very well offensively, hitting for average, but especially against right-handed pitchers. Let's see. Let me go pull up what he's done. Last year, I have his splits for his career, which aren't as flattering as they are for this year. But he also did well last year. He has been much improved. There we go. All right. So against lefties, last year he hit .375 with an on base of .396 and a slugging percentage of .521. Now, that was in 48 at-bats, 53 plate appearances, but he had one of his home runs, four doubles in that time. He has an OPS of .917 against lefties. That is extremely solid for a guy who won a Platinum Glove as a minor leaguer with the Rangers. Has always done very well defensively. So for his career, in 148 games, against lefties at 350 plate appearances, he's hitting .350 with an on base of .367 and a slugging percentage of .464. That's an .831 OPS. That is much better than almost anybody else on the Rangers, besides, I think, Joey Gallo, who just matches everybody. So that's just kind of what you get. And the Rangers are pretty short on guys who just need more infield depth. And guys who can actually play well defensively. I think he's a guy that if the Rangers need some depth on the bench, they should go sign. He is a great clubhouse guy. Everybody already loves him. Joey Gallo would be in a much better mood. And, you know, there's more reasons than just signing Joey's best friend. Like I said, he mashes lefties. He's very good and versatile defensively. So he's a guy who could be like what we thought IKF was going to be last year, and kind of a platoon play everywhere guy, not much power. But can mash lefties. Even IKF doesn't really mash lefties all that well. But speaking of guys who mash lefties and just mash in general, Adam Duvall was non-tendered by the Braves after a very, very solid season. He played in 57 games for him, 209 plate appearances, and he did what he did best. He hit a lot of dingers. That is the Adam Duvall way, and that's what he's always done. In 2019, in just 41 games, he had 10 home runs. Last year, in 57 games, he had 16 home runs, which I believe was top five, maybe top three in the NL. I know at least top five. He had an OPS of .833. He's a right-handed hitter who plays some left field, plays some right field, even played a little bit of center field, which I would not advise at all, but was also a very strong DH. He's a guy who has been fairly healthy, was an all-star in 2016 with Cincinnati. That year, he had a .795 OPS, hit 33 home runs. He also hit 31 home runs the next year. So the dude just mashes bombs. That's all he does, and he's a right-handed hitter who I think the Rangers could get some help with. It depends on the deal you would get. I don't think there's much room for him now with the Dahl signing, but I think before that, I would have really liked to see them go get him. Like I said, Hanser Alberto. Alex Claudio is a guy who the Rangers know very well, another lefty out of the bullpen who the Rangers know how to use effectively. You can get him for probably pretty cheap, but the Brewers decided to non-tender him. But lastly, this is the guy who I think the Rangers should most definitely go after. Carlos Rodon, who's a guy who has he's the exact type of profile that the Rangers have done well with in signing these guys who are right around his age. He's going to be 28 next season. He's a former top prospect. He was a first-round pick, third overall by the White Sox back in 2014. So his first couple of years were very, very good with the White Sox. He averaged a little bit over 1.5 WAR per season. He's a guy who just has tremendous upside, tremendous stuff, and just things have not been quite right for him. He did not do very well last year. He only pitched in 7 2/3 innings. He made $4.4 million last year, and it was only going to go up, even though he only pitched 7 1/3 innings. He also only pitched 34 innings the season before as a 26-year-old in 2019 and made $4 million that year, but did not do well. Injuries have kind of plagued him a little bit over his career. The most he's pitched in a season is 165. That was back in 2016. Other than that, he's only had three seasons of his six big league seasons where he pitched over 100 innings. That was his first two seasons, and then in 2018 as a 25-year-old. So like I said, the last two seasons he's combined for just a little bit over 42 innings. So he's got nasty stuff. The Rangers could sign him on a buy-low deal, something around 1 year, $3 mil, or maybe if they want to go with a 2 or 3 year deal around like what Lance Lynn was getting. This was almost exactly the profile of Lance Lynn. They turned him into an absolute machine, given just a few tweaks of his stuff. So I think the Rangers maybe could or should go after this guy, a 2 year, $15 million deal, maybe 2 year, $10 mil. Not exactly sure what the market's going to be for him, but I can't imagine it will be much more than what he was making last year with the $4.4 million. So that's what I think the Rangers should do if they're going to decide to go after these non-tender guys. Might as well go get the good ones. They've already gotten one in David Dahl. Why not get another Carlos Rodon? Maybe a Hanser Alberto or Alec Claudio. Who knows? But the Rangers really need to be careful to not skirt the actual rebuild process, because if you do that, that's how you end up in perennial mediocrity, and that is absolutely the last thing that the Rangers want. Anyway, that's it for this first week of actual off-season free agency news and things happening. The Rangers continue to be active, so I will be active as well. Got you 5 whole shows this week. We'll give you 5 whole shows next week. Should have some guests on, some really special guests I'm looking forward to. Plenty of other good stuff to come next week. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, at Bryce Paddock. Follow the show, at Locked On Rangers. That's going to do it for today's episode, and don't forget to enjoy baseball.